Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, the end time church is a solution church. Amen. A church that is going to provide solutions for the world, because the world we live in now is full of problems. So many problems and very little solutions. And now God designed it from way back that actually the solutions will come from the church. Praise the Lord. But now the issue is, can the church people see themselves as solution providers or as people who are just moving along? And things are just happening. You know, life is happening to them. Or are they the kind of people who are going to take something and say that God has called me in this area and has therefore given me something unique, totally unique for this area, and I can actually transform everything that has been known in this area by just some knowledge that God gives me. Praise the Lord. Because you see now all the issues which are happening, you know. And the world provides solutions, apparently, but all the characteristics of their solution is they are all complicated. They are never simple. Whereas, actually, God's solutions for anything are usually simple to the point of being simplistic, but very profound. And something which apparently is very big, and God just comes with a small solution. Do this. And that small thing is what actually turns around everything. And usually it is not something you have to search for or any such. It is very, very simple to the point of being simplistic. And now when you get accustomed to God's solutions to apparently big problems and how simple they can be, you realize that he's just holding out that knowledge for the right person and for the right time. Okay, the scripture says that, Proverbs 25 verse 2, it says that it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out that matter. Praise the Lord. Now God actually is in the business of concealing things until the right person comes and asks for it. And when the right person asks, he will give an answer which is very simple. Or the right person or the right time or the right scenario comes and he just reveals something so small, and that small thing sorts a very big problem. I'll give you an example. And usually they are very, very small, small things. Small things. Now everybody here has something. What separates you from... Before I go there, let's first... So you see, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to reveal that matter. So now when God reveals that matter to you, that is what makes you a king. Okay? Because you provide a solution, something so powerful, and then you're a king in that area because God has revealed to you something so small. And I am very sure we have not even gone anywhere close to asking God the solutions he has for the world today. And yet he's there seated on solutions and waiting for the right person to come and ask for them. And then when he gives you that thing, it's what makes you a king. Because you come out and you have a very simple solution, let's say to a very powerful sickness, and say, just do this, and now that you become a king. Because you went and searched out that matter. So, I'll give you an example in the scriptures. Go to 2 Kings chapter. I just want to show you how simple sometimes these things are. Because you see, once it becomes complicated, usually it's not from God. They are usually very simple things which he gives. 2 Kings 20. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. Okay? And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Then he turned his face towards the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and I have done what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Verse 4. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle of the court that the word of the Lord came to him saying, return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father. I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord. And I will add to your days 15 years. And I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. Then Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. So they took and laid it on the cancer, and he recovered. Figs. The king is going to die. Then God just says, get figs. Now imagine figs in Israel. It's like telling you, go and get mapera or something which is so common. Because, and like it is there, and God just says, so the king has a cancer or whatever it is that he has, just go and get figs and put on it, and it's healed. And that's how God's solutions are. They are never complicated. Once you start seeing complications, you know it's not from God. He comes up with very simple things which are around you, near you. Like there, he can go and say, what trees are so common here? Eh? Okay, I gave my pair. Or guava or whatever, something. And he says, that one is going to. And now nobody had that information. And the king was going to die because of a lump of figs. And then God comes and gives it. And the king is saved. And he recovers. And I don't know if that became common knowledge thereafter. But my point is this. Everybody here, like, what separates you from everybody? I want you to know that. When we come here and we are ministering here in the Word of God, the idea, the purpose of it is to set you apart as somebody who has solutions which only God can give. First of all, you have to know your area. First of all, the place where God has called you, specifically the place where he has called you, because he will not give you solutions in a place where he has not called you. For instance, I cannot go to God and say that now I'm going to pray and he's going to give me some beautiful, wonderful musical tunes. He never called me in that area, you see, eh? But there are people who will go there and he will give you something so simple, just a small tune, and then you play it, and then it becomes big. Very big. And you know when it is, like there's a young boy, you went and drew a picture of Jesus. Like, obviously he had seen him. So he just drew it and put it on it, and it broke the internet. He just drew a, you know, and put it there. And obviously he knew what he was drawing. Eh? And that became, it became so big. And anybody who has seen him will tell you that, yeah, that's him. But it was a young kid who just went and drew him. Now, the solutions, the things that, of course, now that makes him a king, he stands out. Eh? Because people are arguing, how did Jesus look like and what? Then God just gives it to some cowboy. And now everybody is saying, how did you know? And they know, even those who have never seen him, look and say, this is Jesus. Like, you know, you see, you can deceive yourself that you've never seen him, but you've seen him, you know, eh? You've seen him. Like, you cannot see him and you don't know it is him. It's just that knowledge has been concealed at a certain part. But you know him. There's no, you can serve him and you don't know him. You look at him and say, hey, this is him. The Bible says he's coming to be admired by those who have what? You know, who have followed him. You look at him and you look at him and find, you're the guy. And praise the Lord. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is the solution to some of these, like, very, very simple things. And the world is full of problems. And that's what it says in that scripture in Isaiah, which you know very well, that shall come to pass. Okay, read it from Micah chapter 4. It's the same, exact same words. Micah chapter 4, from verse 1. It says that, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. Now, I want you to consider one thing. Imagine God gives you such a very simplistic solution to heal cancer. Go and get a lump of figs. Here we don't have figs. He will tell you something else that we have. Eh? And then you have that knowledge. And then now it says the whole world will flock to that knowledge. Because there is a big problem. People are dying from something. And then suddenly, God gives you very, very simple knowledge. Go and get this. Go and, you see that leaf there? If you go and pound it and what, boil it, and then add the other one there, then that is cancer gone. Now, here is the problem. When people go and ask God for things like that, first of all, the first problem is people are not curious enough. There is a scenario where there is a problem and you become part of the problem. At no one time do you stand and say, do you know I can actually be a solution? And then you go and ask God. But it can't be that difficult to heal cancer. Surely you have a solution. Tell me. I just want you to figure out the king is going to die and he says, just go and get a lump of figs and pour on his boil, on his cancer. And that's it. 3 days later, the king is okay and he has 15 years more to live and he's in the temple. That simple. Praise the Lord. Now, the first thing is people are not curious enough on the things that matter. Okay? And they hold on to what they have already known, and there is no desire to get away from the body of knowledge that has been. Now imagine there's this leader, let's say president of a country that has been third world for forever. Praise the Lord. Then he goes and asks God, how can Uganda become first world in a few years? And you think the answer will be difficult? No, it will be very simple. Like God, everything is so simple. He will just say something very small, small. And you go and implement it, and suddenly, poof, everything has changed, and that's how it works. And then the whole world flocks to the mountain of the Lord's house and say, teach us his ways. Because their ways have failed. Okay? Clearly, their ways have failed. Imagine now what it would take going the natural way. Because there has been a prophecy on Uganda about first world. You know that. Now imagine what it would take the natural way for Uganda to become first world. Now, yet actually, God is not planning for it the natural way. And there is a way it can happen. And that way will infuriate so many people, but yet there will be beneficiaries of it. Imagine if you went and told people that now we are going to cut off a tithe of the of the taxes. You don't tell them that. You say classified budget. Then you go and tithe. Because they will start arguing and they are fools. They don't know what they are talking about. But what you say this is how many trillion classified budget. Then from the classified budget, they don't have to know what you did. Amen? Then imagine what's the level of Uganda's debt. Then you say now we are going to give a seed for the debt of this country to be wiped away. And suddenly, in a matter of a short time, there is no debt. Uganda is the only debt-free country in the world. Suddenly, I'm giving an example. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And like you refuse those solutions because they have to flock to us, not us to them. You see what it says? The mountain of the Lord's house shall be exalted above all the other mountains. And the nations shall come in the latter days, shall be established on top of his, he will teach us, said to the house of God of Jacob. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord. Imagine a scenario where nations are coming to us. Obviously, God would have told us something which is unique. Because right now we are running to where? To them. Praise the Lord. But now he can flip that coin like this. And actually, when it comes to sickness, somebody here or anywhere has a solution. So there's this big sickness. And somebody has a very small solution. Just take this oil here and you'll be fine. Now everybody starts flocking towards the mountain of the Lord's house. That's how he intended it. And he says, he will teach us his ways. Now we have to learn his ways, first of all, we ourselves, before we expect people to come running to us. Okay? Because you see all these things, because I've asked the Lord these things, and I said, but God, you're waiting long. Everything is going haywire. When are you going to... Have you ever thought like that? Like, man, things are becoming worse and worse and worse. Now, When are you coming? And you see that even the saints, even the saints in heaven, you know, remember that scripture which says that what? The saints say, how long, oh God, are you going to avenge our blood? Then he tells them, first wait. And as you first chill, I'm going to do it, but you wait a bit. Now, so me sometimes I say, God, are you going to wait until we are completely on the ground when there is nothing? And then actually, that's exactly what he wants. When, like, there is no raw material from the old method, then he comes and introduces his method, and everybody will know that there is no Uganda can be first world. So that when you tell them the Lord, they will know, yeah, there is no other explanation. There is no natural explanation. So now it says, they shall come asking for your ways. For your ways. And now there are people here whom I know, who have already searched out a matter, and they are in the process of revealing very, very powerful things. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know people here who have searched out a matter, and are busy revealing very powerful things. But it starts with curiosity. Sometimes the curiosity is brought about by not so good scenarios, not so good situations. But before I go that, let me first read. Because you see, people are curious over wrong things. Now, if you want to know where somebody is headed, you tell them some kind of information and then another, and you see where they are curious. There are people whom you tell them something which matters, which is of value, and they'll say, hey, yeah, hey. Then now you start telling them some salacious gossip about some. Then you'll see how all their attention comes, and then now they are drawn to it. Then they are curious. I'm telling you, who is that? Eh? Then you also start playing games. I will not tell you, but you want to tell, because also you're a Rugambolist. So you say, I'm Nanga, I don't want to what? I will not tell. No, tell me. Then he also first plays you. Then afterwards he says, no, I'll tell you, but make sure you don't. And now you see, the curiosity is in the wrong things. There are things which you can be curious about, which are going to provide solutions. But now somebody goes, can I tell you something and what? Then you look at them and know it's not going to be of any value. Then you say, no, don't tell me. You look at the disappointment on their face. You say, no, I don't want to know. Then the person looks at you and you've messed up their day. And yet, actually, curiosity is a very powerful thing. And God uses it a lot, because he uses it to draw people in a certain direction. Now, all these solutions I'm telling you about, God starts by creating a problem statement in your mind. You know a problem statement, you people who write whatever, Like, then you start wondering, but why, how come this is like this? How come? Then you start thinking about it, and God is setting you up to give you a solution, okay? And then at some stage, you are so ripe and so ready for the solution, then he tells it to you. And then it turns out to be, as I say, it turns out to be very simple but profound. Okay, go to Exodus chapter 3. It says, Exodus 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. Okay? Now I want you to think about this. The angel of God, he did not see any angel. Did he see any angel? No, he did not see any angel. But there was an angel. And it's not just an angel. Okay? The angel of the Lord appeared to him. I told you how to know in the Old Testament when it says angel, and it was actually talking about Jesus. Okay? Don't go with this New King James which put capital A. Sometimes they get it wrong. But there are scenarios, for instance, where people worshipped the angel, and the angel accepted their worship. Then you know that wasn't a normal angel, because angels cannot receive worship. You see? Like in the case of, I think, Manoah, the father of who? Of Samson, where he said, let me bring an offering. And the angel actually received the offering. Now you know that was the Lord. That was Jesus. Because angels will not receive worship. Anyway, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Now, I want you to see this. There is nowhere where he says he looked and he saw an angel. And there are some places where you will not look and see God. But it is actually God showing him, like trying to call your attention to something, something of importance. And he just beeps you a bit. And what you do with that beep is what matters the most, as I will show you here. So he says, so he looked and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Now, just something extraordinary, something out of the ordinary. And he's just trying to get your attention. Then he says, then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Now, I want you to see that I will turn aside. He's looking after his flock. Now, his flock are his father-in-law's flock. His former life, he has been there 40 years. Okay? There is the whole life he has lived, 40 years of looking after flock and so on, this side. Then God just shows him a small, unique thing, a bush burning, but not being consumed. Then Moses says, first wait a bit. Then he turns aside from his livelihood of 40 years and from so many things and turns aside to see what great sight this is. Now, I am telling you from experience, even my own experience, that so many times God does that in our lives and you just look at it and say, oh, wow. Then continue with your life. And now you've missed out on great, great, great things which happen out of you being curious in the right places. And now that's how always small. And now, I don't know, you can relate it with your lives where something happened which you saw, but this is not ordinary. This is God trying to get my attention. And then, if you turn aside and give him, turn aside means away from what you, and give him your attention, then something great happens, like what happened here with what? With Moses. Then he says, then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Verse 4. Now listen. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look. Now what if he had not turned aside to look? It says, now when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and says, Moses, Moses, you know the rest of the story. But the question is, what if he had not turned aside? What if he had just looked at the bush and said, wow, okay, yeah. Then he gets his stick and starts what? Looking after his flock, because that's what he has been doing for 40 years. And now that's what happened so many times. Now God was, everything was dependent on him actually making the decision to turn aside. Then now, God picks an interest. Now, when you don't know which matters to search, and I'm telling you, and what information is of value to you, you end up feeding yourself with a lot of useless information and being curious about useless things which are not going to benefit you. And yet, actually, God can use your faculty of curiosity to draw you in a certain place. Draw you, and he draws you and he's trying to give you some kind of knowledge which is going to make you a king. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. It is the glory of king to search it out. So now you search it, and then God gives you that thing. That one thing, one small thing, go and put a lump of figs and cancer will be cured. And you become a king because you've provided a solution, and now that's what makes you a king. Okay? It can be in any area of, you know, your endeavor that God has called you. Things which profound knowledge which transforms lives and people. Now, there are people whom I know here who I know who have been searching out matters, and I've seen them for a while, how God started working on them. First of all, there is a problem. Sometimes the problem is even, you know, I'll give you this example. I hope she doesn't mind because she's here. Probably she's here. This lady who grew up having skin issues, you know, rough skin and what, acne and so on. And you know what that does to esteem of ladies. And so she's really, really in a bad place. So the first time she came to me, she said, but why doesn't God just heal this skin of mine? Then I looked, I didn't have an answer really. Eh? But you know, sometimes God does things for the glory of what? Now he's setting you up to be a king, but it starts as a problem, a big, big, big problem. Going through secondary school, going through university, and you have a very big problem with your skin. So, anyhow, she gets over that thing of being sad, self-pity and all that, then now starts being a solution provider. Now I've seen some of her products for skin. I'm telling you, she's going to transform this world. She's going to transform this world, I'm telling you. Like, I've seen some, and some people here have even sampled them. And they are the things God tells her, go and get this, go and get the other, go and, you know, eh? There's a time she came and told me, God told me, I said, don't tell me your recipes. Because that's what's going to make you a king. That is God making you what? A king. So he concealed that knowledge and set you up properly to go to him, and then he gives it to you. And then you use it, and then you are going to destroy the whole dermatologist. Eh? Because they have complicated creams which do not provide any solution. You know that. Eh? Somebody's skin care routine. Eh? Like, yes, skin care. And I, have you seen ladies with skin care? They have a whole table like this of products. Eh? And like people are just making money out of them. Like, a whole table, then she starts with this one. Then uses cotton. You know what I'm saying. You ladies. Amen? Eh? And then when she's finished, the skin is the same. And then God goes and tells somebody, do you know this? And they just combine this. Eh? And then that's the end of acne. Do you know how you can become a king by just finding the solution to the end of acne? And that is because you've provided a solution for something which is disturbing people. I'll give you an example. Hmm? God goes and gives you what? Something. Combine this and this and to cure a bald head. Do you know how many men will run to you? Because vain men don't want bald heads. You know, chiwarata is one of the vanity things for men. You find vami men early, even some even their 20s, the thing has hammered them completely. There is one that I used to laugh at until I realized you'd get offended. But I thought it was a joke. Because men are not supposed to be what? Overly concerned about these things. But the thing, the chiwarata, for him, it hammered him in a special way. Because it came and first went around his head here like this and left an island of hair in the middle. A small island of hair in the middle. Then he started chewing the island slowly by slowly. But then I said, but so now imagine, now God gives you a curse. So just, and you know, do you know the truth, the honest truth is, eh? Like, it for God, it's very simple. You just have to go and ask him. He's there seated on that knowledge. Say, you guys have not asked me for anything. Ask me and I will tell you what. What? Obviously, for me, I don't need that solution. Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? Glory to, but I'm seeing people here who need it. Now, but you see, now something as simple as that. And now it becomes a big, big, big thing because all over the world people, chiwarata is a big problem, man. So everybody has shouting because of what? Because of chiwarata, man. And yet they would want to have hair. But the hair is selective about where it is growing. Praise the Lord. No, it's the truth. Hmm? And now you go. And somebody who has maybe some, and you know when somebody is going to have that solution, it becomes a big problem for them. And they are so not happy about it and what. And it is, that sickness is not for what? Not because anybody sinned, but it's for the glory of God. So he first gets you, he puts you in a tight place where you now say, but God, what is it? And he says, okay, you want the solution to chiwarata. Here it is. Then not only do you sort your issue, you become a king. Eh? Because do you know if you produced a product which sorts chiwarata, do you know you'd become a king? Amen? Eh? Because the people have tried other things, they don't work. And God can just tell you these cartoons, like, or this, what? Paspara. Like, he has solutions which are weird. Weird solutions. And you say, well, this one says, yeah, get that one. Pound it and you go and see. Then you rub, the next day the hair is back. And then you see that guy who are isolated. He's kind. Man, that chiwarata was weird. Anyway, so now we are in the business of providing solutions. Praise the Lord. If you don't have any that you're providing, what are you doing in the end time church? That's what we are here for. There are problems in all sorts of areas. And God is there seated on solutions. Okay? It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. Now, when God conceals a matter, he does not conceal it from you. He conceals it for you. Amen? So he hides it, not away from you, but he hides it for you. So that it is not common knowledge. It is not cheap knowledge. Otherwise, then it will not be worth. It's like you hide, let's say you share a house with somebody. And then you hide the key somewhere and a stone and what? You're not hiding it from your roommate. You're hiding it for them, you understand? So that not everybody else can access. So they are the ones who know that under this stone, that's where the key is or something like that. So now God conceals this knowledge for you and waits for you to come and ask, how can I, you know, get? But now usually what happens, let me also tell you this. What happens is when God gives you that uniqueness of a solution, so many people are going to go and now try to go to other people whom they have been looking up to and hand over your uniqueness. And then you give up your crown. And then you don't become a king. You give the crown to somebody else. You understand? So you know there's this company which produces, you know, like for instance, there's this guy whom they told me what, who came up with it. And this is a true story. Who came up with the malaria thing, drug for malaria. And it's so simple. And that's the end of malaria. Not after a few months you get it again. No, end of malaria. Then somebody deceived him and told him, you go and market your patent to what? To pharmaceutical companies in Germany. That was the end. They just gave him some money, took his thing, he signed over his patent, they destroyed it and continued giving us their fake drugs because they want you to continue consuming. They are not interested in cure. They're interested in making you a permanent customer. You see, eh? The pharmaceutical industry does not deal in cure. It deals in customers. I'm sure. So now what he did is he surrendered it. And this is somebody actually who is born again, and you know him. He surrendered it. And then you say, what was he supposed to do? He cannot. Let me tell you, if God gave it to you, even if you are the smallest person, the reason I gave an example of that person amongst us who is doing very powerful skin things. For instance, she came up with a soap which looks terrible, but it removes makeup on one wash. All the makeup. You know this makeup which women put on when they are going for parties? Some of them have to bathe for 2 hours for it to come off. You know what I'm saying? You ladies, eh? Eh. Then you're under the shower. Then you use a sponge. Then you use a gauze. Then you use what? Steel wire. to remove the makeup. Now you're laughing, but the things which you people go through, eh? The price. But this person, one wash, just wash. And see, all the makeup is off and your skin is the way it was before. Isn't that wonderful? Now, a king, her crowning is coming because she went to God and he gave her something unique. Unique to her. Praise the Lord. In her area. Now, the mistake is, number one, you go and carry it and take it to other people whom you've known. So there's these people who do what? Then you go and tell them, I have this idea, what? Then they sit down and look at you. And then you give them all your ideas. And then you've given them your crown. Praise the Lord. Usually people do that because they don't have the esteem to know that they can carry this thing on. Okay? Because when God gives small things, like he gives them small people. But if they follow him, he will make them big. You see, what you have is more important than all the other things that the other people have. Because they have all this marketing, what, they have all powerful, but they don't have a product. And God has given you a product which actually works and almost works like magic. And some of you are going to be like that. Then you go and sell yourself to somebody because apparently you think, I can't bring this thing to what? to pass myself. I need some munene above me. Then you go and say, I have this idea, what? Then they will keep you around long enough to take your ideas. As soon as your ideas are finished and they have stolen your uniqueness, they will send you away. And that happens all the time. All the time. Praise the Lord. Now, if God gives you an idea for something big, I'm talking about world big, relax. Go at his pace. He will make you a king. Like that. Eh? He will make you a king. Praise the Lord. He has revealed to you that piece of information. That's what is most important. Now, for instance, God gives you a solution for... Okay, let me go back to Chiwarat. Then you go to move it and say, I have a what? A medicine which is good for what? For Chiwarat. Then they say, Then they put you in a position where you have to prove yourself. You know those things, eh? Yet they are trying to get information. Then you start pouring out your whole heart, eh? And they are getting your information. And then Movit says, okay, you come, we are going to work together. We provide the solution. We give you this percentage and what? You've just given up your crown. You were supposed to take Movit out of the market. I'm giving an example, you see. Eh? And the people whom God sent you to take out, they're the ones whom you are going and selling your ideas to. Then now, as soon as they get your idea properly, they give it their brand, and then they start marketing it as theirs. And it actually works. And then you start telling people somewhere, Kali, that was my idea. People say, you're lying. Because you gave up your crown. Praise the Lord. I hope you are learning something here today. Don't give up your crown. Start slow. Move slowly. If God has given you the most important thing, which is the information, that is the most important. There are people who have whole marketing, systems and what, and they have zero product. Those people who sell those skincare routine things of a whole desk. Start with this one. Apply once. Then go to this one. And at the end of the day, there is nothing. And God has given you something which actually works. And then you said it to them. And then you'll be like, go to Genesis. Now, the devil is the master trying to take away your uniqueness. I am sure that he of himself has no ideas of his own. But when God gives an idea to somebody who does not believe in himself and who does not believe that the person who gave him the idea and who doesn't believe that, and then when the people who don't believe in themselves go and sell, then the devil gets those ideas and those are the ones that he uses. But in truth, the originator of ideas is God. Praise the Lord. What the devil does is he tries to take away your uniqueness. Find me that scripture where Jacob was digging wells. And so you have something which is unique. And the enemy comes and jumbles it up. He muddles up the water. You are the originator of it. But there are people whom the enemy has put there just to wait. Verse 19. It says that also Isaac's servant dug in the valley and found a well of running water. Okay? Verse 20. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the water is ours. So he called the name of the well Esek, because they quarreled with him. Now, I want to tell you that this is exactly how it happens in the world. You go, and you've gone through a long process for God to give you an idea, which is unique to you. As soon as it comes out, you'll see how many people will come and try to claim it. Okay? You'll see how many people will come and try to claim it as their own. And what they are doing is they are trying to take away your uniqueness. Because what makes you unique is that thing. And that's what makes you stand out. So you bring this thing forth, and then somebody comes and copies it, and then usually they want to destroy it, but don't be concerned about that. Okay? Because it will have to happen. No matter what, it will have to happen. You understand? Eh? Like, you can't just start something and you go and, like, the devil doesn't send these people to come and muddle up your thing and what. The day you come up with a solution for Chiwarata, I'm giving that as an example, please. You will see how many solutions for Biwarata what? Pop up. You see, eh? All of them fake and everyone, no, mine is, so what yours is part of so many others. And that's how it is. Now, do not let that put you off, because it is definitely going to happen. Now, here you, Isaac, he had the ability to go and find, you see, digging a well wasn't as simple as you think. It wasn't just like you go and dig, dig. You had to have a sense of where is there water. Okay? Near. So he would go to a place and maybe using some knowledge, he digs a well. As soon as he finishes digging a well, then those people come and say, no, 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 it's our well, it's our well. Then he says, ah, I'm not going to quarrel with you. Then he moves on. Okay, go. Go to the next verse. Then they dug another well and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name Sitna. Go ahead. Then he moved from there and dug another well and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, because he said, for now God has made room for us and we shall be fruitful in the land. Praise the Lord. Now, when these people come, don't argue. Like, there will be solutions which are fake and they will wait for yours to come. You see, eh? Then you come and say, now we can do this or that. Just give it a short while. There are people who have been waiting for you to come. And then they will come with theirs. And then now, people will not be able to distinguish between the authentic and the what? And the fake. Then, you might get discouraged. Don't. Just go on, like Isaac. There are people who don't know where their wells. They don't have the ability to bring forth any water. They will wait for somebody else to dig, then they come and start quarreling. And then sometimes they can put you in strife. Then you start fighting over it. Then you start quarreling. Now, the other day, I was shocked. Because you see, when I came out to stand in politics, I came with a clear message about, you know, economic empowerment, financial liberation, and what. I had some talking points which were very clear and that were mine. You understand? Now, the other day, somebody who has been in politics for almost 30 years was going over the country repeating my words word for word. Word for word. And then my people were telling me, but hey, this guy, can't he come up with something original? They never do. They never do. But now, does that discourage me? No, it can't. Because they were on the quarrel over those words. Me, I can go and dig a well and swear. You see, eh? And then me, I will find water. For you, will not. Praise the Lord. I want you to know these things. Because if you are going to produce something serious, which God has given, you have to go through these steps. And it's inevitable. It's absolutely inevitable. Now the guy goes word for word, word for word. Then I listen to the guy. He said, but you guy. God, no sony. But now for me, I will go somewhere, I will cook up something, and I will come. Because for me, I will get it from the Spirit of God. And me, I can dig more wells. Praise the Lord. So now if I see you over fighting over that one, I will leave it for you. But it didn't work out for him anyway, because people eventually realize, but your words are like carburetors. Because you see, sometimes, and also you have to know these things, because when I came out, I went and I remember some journalist came and interviewed me about what my plan is and what my message is and so on. Then he said, this is a good message, but can you come up with something different all the time? Something as good as this? I said, I don't have to come up with anything as good. I mean, I don't have to come up with something different. That's not how it works. You have to speak that message over and over and over again until it is associated with you. When somebody says it, people say, ah, you're copying the other guy. You know that. Eh? It's like if you put on an orange shirt with white lines like this, eh? And everybody knows what? I will not mention his name. Eh? But you see, somebody can do something and he puts on a shirt over and over again. And when you put it on, everyone says, hey, now that is actually. So now, when you're in this process of becoming a king, when God has revealed the matter to you, praise the Lord, don't get into strife. When somebody comes with that, you just say, okay, I'll do this. But usually, they never actually last long enough. Eh? They are very, very short-termist. Next time, you'll be jumping on somebody else's message, and then after that, on somebody else's message. Anyway, go to Jeremiah chapter 15. Start from verse, 16. Jeremiah 15, 16. It says, your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Now your words were found by me. Okay? Now you can look words to mean anything. Because if he says they were found, it means you're searching for something. Then he found what he wanted. And he says, now these were the words, I ate them. And then he says they became the rejoicing of my heart. But then later on, he's surrounded by people who, of course, do not value the word of God. And says, for me, I found your words and I ate them and they became my rejoicing. But then later on, God tells him something. Verse 19. He tells him that, verse 19 here. He says, therefore thus says the Lord, if you return, then I will bring you back. You shall stand before me. If you take out the precious from the vial, you shall be as my mouth. Let them return to you, but you must not return to them. Now, here is a caution, and it will be my last before I end. This is how I want you to see this. When you are doing something unique for God, you have to be able to separate the precious from the vile. Because there is a lot of vile. You go and get some very powerful information. For instance, God tells you, go and get, Pascalum, and to cure cancer. Then you go to Google, what are the qualities of Pascalum? If you wanted Google, why didn't you stay on Google? When God has told you, that is inferior information. That's why I said, don't go to them. Let them come to you. Remember, it says in the last day, they will come to the knowledge of the Lord. Now, don't go to their knowledge. Okay? Because like I told you, these solutions will be very simple and available there, and yet profound and solving big problems. So now, if you try to go to the existing knowledge, you've lost it. He says, let them return to you. Let them come to you. Don't go to them. You are the one who has my word. Let them be the ones to come to you. Because the biggest thing that happens is when people go to places, they lose what the uniqueness they have. I mean, when I got born again, the first things I ever got in contact with, first of all, I started reading. I would read the Bible. I'd read it over and over again in the first 1.5 years. Like, I already knew so many scriptures. It was just like, I would just enjoy reading the Bible. Then I landed on Kenneth Hagin. Okay? And then now Kenneth Hagin changed my whole perspective. Everything I knew about broccoli was Kenneth Hagin. So I knew that I can believe God for something. I can, I knew all those things. And I absolutely knew how to stand in faith and pull off things by faith. And I knew that. There was a time I was in some school there in Imbale, and the holidays had come, and I didn't have transport money. But then that wasn't a big problem, because they would go to the guild, and they lend you money which you would pay back at the beginning of the next school term. But then I decided, why should I borrow money when I can believe God? You see that kajanja? Now that was me when I was newly born again. Like I said, I'm not going to go and borrow money when I can believe God. So I refused. Then they said, if anybody wants money, I said, then of course, come for money. I said, no, I'm not going to go for money. Then they closed. Then I was there, I did have money. And I had to come from that place. So now I was supposed to leave the next day. And my things were packed, and I was telling people I'm leaving tomorrow. But I didn't know how I was leaving. I didn't have a coin. And that day was the last day they were going to serve dinner that day. After that, you're on your own. And now imagine how everybody would say, but you're foolish. They asked you to go and what? But I had that kajanja. So I refused. So in the evening, I was there. So guys, I say, Kableta, when are you going? I say, I'm going tomorrow morning at 7. I said, tomorrow morning at 7, I'm going. I didn't have any money whatsoever. And I kept on affirming that tomorrow at 7 I'm what? I'm going. Then in the evening, as I was walking around in the compound, I found some guy. He was some cantankerous guy and so on. But he was born again in a way, but okay, a bit weird. Eh? You know those people who make people think Baroque are, weirdos. Eh? So, he's the only one I told. By the way, I'm believing God for transport. I don't have any transport. Then he said, yeah, okay. And maybe it's a good thing to be a weirdo. Because he's the only one who didn't say, what's wrong with you? You could have gone and they given you a... He said, yeah, okay, that's fine. Then I said, and I'm leaving at 7 a.m. tomorrow. But I don't have any money. So anyhow, the guy was going somewhere. So he went somewhere and to some teacher's quarters. And somehow there was those American Peace Corps, those American guys who would come and teach and what. So one of them had a guest who had come and was spending the night and was leaving for Kampala. Guess what time? 7 a.m. the next day. So the guy told him, hey, by the way, there's a friend of mine who would like to hook a lift. He said, no problem. Let him be at 7. Let him be at 7. And I came in a Land Cruiser, a big one like this. Seated on a chair. But then, now, my faith failed me when I go to Kampala. Because I was saying, now, how am I going to get transport to take me to... I used to say, I think, in Mulago, somewhere in Mulago. How am I going to get transport to take me to Mulago? Because I didn't have any money, not even a coin. By the way, even 7 a.m. I came, and I first even had breakfast. Yeah. Then I said, Land Cruiser man, who came to Kampala? Then I reached, and they said, so where can we take you? I said, drop me at the taxi park. But I didn't have money, even if they had dropped me at the taxi park. They said, no. Tell us where you stay, we shall take you. They took me right up to the doorstep. Now, that was before I went to our churches. Now, when I went to our churches, all that left, I became like them. Man, it is so terrible. I became like... Also, me, I started those things of chasing Mizimu and what. Yet, Kenneth Hagin had taught those things that now here, the demons which surround here, you know, we used to walk like in Kamocha and say, one Mizimu one, eh? Is what? Butamiv. Eh? Then you go and break what? And you're wasting your time. Eh? And yet I knew better. Do you know? You know, I knew better. Because I'd read that. But somehow when you be among people, they mess you up. That's why he says, don't come to them. Let them come to you. If I had stood my ground and said, no, what you're doing is fake. I know. I would not have, you know, I wasted so many years in those fake churches. So many years. Yet you started off very well. Now imagine if I had kept at that pace. That time you couldn't tell me that. Sick how? Can you imagine? If you even had I was sick, you'd be ashamed of me. Like I would do. Then later on, Munang, after going to them, then also you start what? Like, and you've lost it. Now, there are certain things which now we have... Now, of course, I was young. But now we are mature. When you know something, don't... If you know it and you know it, don't let people confuse you yet you know something. Then they tell you, you know, the chemical composition of Pascalum cannot do what you say. God has told me Pascalum. Like, that is it. I'm going with my that knowledge. How come for you did not cure the biwalata? You wait for me to come up with mine, then you start disproving it. You understand? Then you go to Google. Now, then you, if you don't separate the precious, because when God gives it to you, it is precious information. Precious. Thankfully, in the days of Hezekiah, they did not have Google. Otherwise, they would have said, but a lump of figs cannot heal cancer. And somebody was going, just get a lump of figs, put on the thing, and the man is okay. Now, but here now, there is a lot of information. a lot of useless information, and there is a carrot of information where people, you know, an information carrot, like the one which was in the days of Paul when he went to Athens, where they want some, tell us, he has something new to say. Like they're just there picking information which is useless. Don't get caught in the carrot of information. If information is not taking you to the next level, it is useless. Leave it alone. That's how you separate the precious from the vile. There is information which is taking you nowhere. Haven't you met people like that? They know everything about everybody. That one is like this. You know, that's his third wife. The first one, oh, well, this happened. Then the second one, by her. You know, the second one, now she's with the other guy. Then what? And he, like, let me tell you, somebody like that is going nowhere in life. I'm telling you 100%. And I can tell you, you can look at somebody and you know this one is going nowhere. They have information which is useless. Some of it is fake. I remember I went somewhere with my wife. And then I'd gone to do passport photographs. But it involved a bit of waiting. And I just went, then she was going to wait a few minutes to take them. Then when I arrived, some guy said, "Hey, man, you man, how are you? What? Then the guy greeted me like we are long lost buddies. Now, I was confused, but I know how to handle scenarios like that. So I also just went along. How are you guys? What? Now I'm looking at the guy. He said, "I don't know this guy." Then he told me that Ochasura ku flat. Now I used to stay in the flat, Bugorowi flat. I said, "No, no, Ochasura." So I said, "Hey, maybe the guy actually knows me." Then I left. Then the info the guy did. Oh, you mulaboy? Like he was one of the first people in Kampala to drive a BMW. Yet he had a lot of money, what? But wakati za mugwako. Then he went and said that nekati mukodo. And now they didn't know that I'd come with my wife, and she was there sitting listening. Then when she came, "Are you sure you don't know that guy?" I said, "I don't know him." I said, "Are you sure you don't know him?" I said, "I don't know the guy. But he had info about me." Yari abira wano mflats. Ngafuka BMWs in his what? You know those guys. Then even describes it and what? Then even describes which woman you had and what? Fiction. Let me tell you, gentlemen, don't be. If you don't learn how to separate the precious from the vile, and you know what information is of benefit, like he says, you said what he says. "I will bring you back and you shall stand before me. If you take out the precious from the vile, you shall be as my mouth." You put in amplified. "Therefore, thus says the Lord to Jeremiah, if you repent and give up this mistaken attitude of self-despair and self-pity, then I will make you to these people a fortified wall of bronze. But my point is this, I will restore you to a state of inner peace, so that you may stand before me as an obedient representative. And if you separate the precious from the worthless, examining yourself and cleansing your heart from unwarranted doubt and concerning my faithfulness, you become my spokesman." Okay? "Let the people turn to you and learn to value my values. But you, go ahead, must not turn to them." Okay? Now, what I'm trying to say here is, as I end, is you'll be like a solution, like a conduit for my things, because you've learned how to separate worthless things. Somebody, like, there is a lot of worthless knowledge out there, I'm telling you people. Worthless knowledge, which people are going to have, and is not going to help them whatsoever. Now, some of you are such. Go and repent, that's what it said there. And now when somebody comes and tells you information which is of no value, tell them, "I'm not interested." At the beginning, it is very difficult, by the way, because Rugambo is sweet. I'm telling you, at the beginning, it's very interested. It's very difficult, rather. Somebody comes and says, "Have you heard? Are you aware?" Now you can just see somebody who has something itching. And if you want them to hate you, tell them, "I don't want to hear. I am busy." Because he will tell you one word which will pile up your head with useless things. And then even where God would have given you a solution, he comes and your mind is full of rubbish. Rubbish here and there. So if you learn how to separate the precious from the vile, then you will be a conduit for God's solutions in this end time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, everybody in whatever field you are, there is a solution that God wants to pass through you. Praise the Lord. Now, I gave you an example of somebody who is here because I want you to know that these are ordinary things. Ordinary people whom God is making extraordinary and making them kings. Praise the Lord. And now, there is a crown waiting for you. You know that. Especially in this year. Praise the Lord. Now, God will crown you with the knowledge which nobody else can have. And you are the solution. And then you come out and people are like, man, we've been waiting for this. But if you learn how to separate the precious from the vile, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
That was The Watchman. Join us for our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at The Realm, along Gaba Road, near the American Embassy, opposite Mukwaya General Hospital. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money line, that is +256 780 290 555, or +256 755 290 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministry, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.